Thanks for tuning into Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along.
Hello and welcome back to Conversations About Meaningful Things, where we like to have conversations about, you guessed it, meaningful things. My name is Brian. I'm one of the hosts here. Around the table, we have Alex.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Oh, you know, nothing much. And Steve.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Welcome back, by the way. This is part two. So if you didn't listen to part one, kind of talking about spiritual highs and lows, you can just scroll down about a centimeter on whatever podcast player you're using and download that one as well. But we are going to jump right back into what we're talking about. Last week, we talked...
It feels like we never left.
Yeah, it's so crazy. But last week, we talked about those spiritual dry spells, kind of things that if you have been walking with God for any length of time, you've probably experienced feeling like he's distant. And so we really tackled what that feels like and possibly some ways that can help again in the last one. And then for this one, we want to talk about the other side of that coin, those times where you're like, wow, something's really happening. What some would say or would call a spiritual high. Maybe it's just a Sunday morning and the bass drum is exceptionally vibrating the floor that day and you're just like, whoa, something... I feel like God's moving. Is he really moving? Maybe. But that's what we're here to talk about. So there's a wide range. Another kind of Christianese term would be like a mountaintop experience, like a camp or something.
Could be, yeah.
So how do we want to define this, the spiritual high mountaintop?
Well, you mentioned a couple of the... if we're using the same language as last week, this, some of the characteristics, right? You said there's a good positive feeling that I have. Mm-hmm. It's probably there's a sense of optimism. I think there's an excitement about some aspect of my faith, whether it's I'm excited to tell someone, want to tell them about what's happening. I want to tell them about, you know, this cool thing. I think, you know, some of the other things, the characteristics of that are, I really feel like I'm hearing from God. Like I read the Bible and it's like jumping off the page at me. Yeah. Like I'm putting things into practice and seeing results spiritually. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, scripture said, do this. I did this. Whoa, look what, you know, that's really great. And I'm probably not having any sense of, you know, shame or guilt over things because I really feel like I'm right where God wants me to be. And so that's really good. And so I think those are some of the characteristics for me. I don't know what you guys would think. A lot of times they can be post-event. Like I've come back from mission trips and, you know, people that were on the trip are like, God's just so awesome. And, you know, whatever the case may be, I can't wait to go and I'm going to win my whole school to Christ, you know, that kind of excitement and enthusiasm.
Yeah, if we want to go with the analogy found in the Bible as well that we brought up last week, the season, if the dry spell is kind of the winter and even spring, the planting where you don't see anything happening yet, then I guess the spiritual high mountaintop is more of the summer and fall, the wow, things are really growing, I'm seeing things happening, and the harvest of like, wow, like, I've been talking to my friend for 2 years and finally they decided to crack open a Bible. Like, this is really cool. Seeing actual, results, I guess.
Yeah. Progress, results.
Yeah. I would agree with you. And those all sound like what, so why don't we just want to be in that space all the time? Like why not chase that, all those sound like really, really great things.
Well, I think we do. And I think, as a season, that becomes a problem. You can't stay in that for forever. That is one of the things with particularly spiritual highs. I went to a Christian college, and actually my senior honors thesis was on kind of this phenomenon we see more and more with especially what people would call like mega churches and stuff like that. If we add enough fog, if we add enough lasers, if we add enough, like I said, booming bass drum, can we manufacture a good feeling for our people? Mm-hmm. And so there's rightfully a lot of distrust to like what we're saying of like people feeling good when it comes to God. But clearly, like when there is actually good happening, and you're responding to God on the move, and when we worship God, we should, I believe that we should feel good about it. There's a lot, but I can understand how there's people who would be like, no, it's not about emotion at all. It's not about feelings at all.
And I think some of those are, correct criticisms are that somehow if we can manufacture it, it overcomes the other things in life so that we don't have to deal with them.
Right.
That's one of the things we talked about last week was if God is at work in the dry season, like be willing to embrace that, right? But I think sometimes in, you know, there can be the temptation to let's create another big event. We'll just live event to event to event. And that's just out of balance, right?
Yeah.
It's we don't live that way.
Yeah.
You know, I used my marriage as an example last week, and I'll use it again. Like, we don't live date night to date night to date night, and that's the only time we ever have any interaction, right? But there is the if I don't know if I want to say mundane of day to day, but maybe the routine of day to day. And then there's, you know, an event that's sprinkled in that just kind of reinforces the relationship, you know, strengthens it a little bit more, gives us a shared experience that we can then have a good feeling about. And I agree with you, Brian. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with feeling good about what's going on spiritually in our lives. If it doesn't elicit a good feeling, then I'd be more concerned about that. So it's not that we're saying you shouldn't feel good, but it shouldn't be manufactured, and it shouldn't be in place of or to override every other thing. There's balance in all of that.
To go off of that, like, date night strengthens the relationship, but it's not the relationship. So it's not that you're like, the only way that we can have a successful relationship is to do those big things that are fun all the time, go axe throwing, whatever it is that you guys like to do. Instead, it's like, no,
I'm open to it.
I bet. You have a good relationship, and then when we do have those experiences, then that it proves the relationship. It doesn't, I don't know.
It creates a little bit of the overflow, right?
Yeah.
So, but there has to be some foundational container there to begin with.
Right.
Yeah.
A thought I had, even just in light of last week, where we were sort of exploring the idea of sometimes dry seasons cause us to maybe become more realigned with God as our sustainer. He's the supply. Like, it's not, we don't worship all of the great things that God can give us. We worship Him, and our relationship is with Him. I think sometimes with these spiritual highs, the temptation for us sometimes can be, I just want to chase that really great feeling, or let's create something so that way we're feeling that all the time. And I think if our focus is on the thing, the gift, you guys use the analogy of the date night or the experience, if it's always just on, you know, the thing rather than the person, I think that's where we can get off. I see two sides of the coin for me, in the walk of faith. And I grew up in the church, and I've seen both sides of this, where it's like, you have one camp where it's like, emotions are bad. We should not do anything that creates emotional response. And then you have the other side where it's like, we need to just be overcome and overtaken by emotion. And I think both of those really more or less focus on the feeling rather than the person.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they both even the camp that says emotions, feelings are bad, you're still focusing on feelings.
Yeah.
You're saying like, no, don't even think right. about it. You're still focusing on that rather yeah. than on God.
So where do we...
Yeah, those are the extremes.
Right.
Either direction.
So how do you... Because obviously, like, so God... We wouldn't be emotional creatures if we weren't created that way, right? Like God,
yeah, and that's in the image of God.
Yeah, so God displays emotion. So that's not the issue. And in fact, I think that's where I struggle sometimes in my position as worship director. Is sometimes I'm like, it's you're feeling it. I'm like, man, like the words that we're singing are powerful, or man, this scripture is like, oh my gosh, like this is amazing. And then you look out and sometimes it feels like nobody's getting this. Like you should have an emotional response to this. Yeah. Obviously, you know, nobody knows our hearts but God, and somebody can be really be moved by him in a moment and it just doesn't show. But I do think like these times are, they can be really powerful and really amazing, but our focus should be on the person of Jesus and our relationship, not chasing after.
Yeah, and even in like if we look at Scripture, Old Testament, some examples, we see that they did look back on significant events, right? So there were the mountaintop experiences, right?
Yeah.
And they were told to, in some ways, memorialize that so that we can focus on God, not focus on the event. And I think that's where we,
right.
That's the slippery slope here, right?
Yeah.
Because the two tend to be intertwined, right? We are on a spiritual high because of what we see God doing or what we got to be a part of with God or something, you know, some descriptor of that sort. But then we can slip into worshiping the event that happened rather than the fact that that was God at work, and I want more of God in my life. I want so more good. Of God at work. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if we're, you know, our family has a great trip to whatever, Disney World, will be very stereotypical, right? Mm-hmm. So that, like, we're a great family, not because of Disney World. Disney World was just an opportunity for us to experience and being a great family, right? So, or a blessing for our family. We don't live in Disney World every day. Yeah. So,
right. And if you need Disney World to be a good family, then you should work on being a good family.
Yeah, that indicates something else, right? Yeah. And so I think, we can look back and in whatever way is appropriate, kind of memorialize the mountaintop experiences, but as an indicator of how good God is and our relationship with him and some of the things like, oh, that's cool, God, we got to do that. Kind of like a kid and his dad, like, Dad, remember the time we got to do that? That was really cool. Like, son, but we don't do that every day.
Yeah.
But we're still father and son every day. Like, I kind of feel like that's a picture in my head about what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
When it comes to the mountaintop experiences.
Yeah. I mean, and you even, Steve, used the analogy of you and your wife, Tina. I think about when my wife Kirsten and I first met, started dating. It's like that was a mountaintop experience every single moment I spent with her. And it showed, like, I was like, I felt like Buddy the Elf. Like, I'm in love and I don't care who knows it. And I will tell anybody. The sad reality, though, I think, and I remember hearing people say this, it's like, well, don't get used to this feeling because someday that'll fade. And I'm like, that's really depressing.
Yeah. Thanks for speaking that.
On one hand, I think that is really depressing that there is I think as a culture, we've accepted that, you know what, you're eventually just going to sort of get tired of your spouse and you'll just sink into a rhythm and you'll become roommates and that's just how marriage works. Like, I think that's sad and that shouldn't be a reality.
Yeah.
What I do see, though, is that, yes, if that like emotional high that really is based on not truly knowing each other, it's just we are super attracted to each other and want to spend every moment. That's not wrong at all for the season that we're in.
Right.
But for that love and relationship to grow deeper, it has to move beyond just the emotional response of, I just love being around you, which I still get and we still feel, but it's way more deeper because it's come from years of going through stuff together and waking up someday and going, I feel a little distant and we need to work on this relationship. And those kind of times, And I wonder if our relationship with God can be similar in the sense that he's obviously holding our relationship up. It's not, you know, we're it's not really up to us in the sense of it would be in a marriage.
And I think, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I just think it's the emotional high. It's like, we're not chasing that. I think you said it, Brian. It's like, there should be a consistent, like, I am pursuing my relationship with God, not for these spiritual high moments. But that, you know, we get to experience some of those things out of overflow of just investing our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you talk about like the routine of being in relationship, I think our culture has told us the routine is bad and boring.
Right.
Like we should not desire that. Mm. And I think, well, hold on. What about, you know, consistency and commitment?
Right.
And relationship and provision for one another, like all those are part of really healthy relationship. But I think we live in a culture that sometimes sends a different message that like, you know, you even see depicted in media, like, you know, a couple of guys and one guy's going to get engaged. He's like, well, how can you, are you serious?
Death sentence.
You're going to be with only one person the rest of your life. I mean,
yeah.
How about how awesome you found someone that you would have that commitment with for the rest of your life, like just to the flipping of that coin culturally,
right?
And realizing that there's a whole nother aspect of the way we can view this that I think one is more biblical, two it's more healthy, and three is a lot less destructive to our thought processes, because you know, if you're always chasing the next greatest thing, you are by default never content. And Paul said, I've learned the secret of contentment. That's not situational, it's relational.
Yep.
And Paul said, I've learned to be content in all situations, whether I have a lot or they don't have a lot. It's because I know Christ. I have a relationship with God. That's the secret of contentment. And we live in a culture that says, never be content. Always go for the next thing. Always get more. Always get more. Always get more. And that's just not a biblical mindset worldview. And so if we can make sure we're adjusting things appropriately, then I think we can then come to value the commitment and the root. I hate to use the word routine because even culturally it has that negative connotation. Oh, it's just the routine. But commitment, consistency of healthy relationship. And that's something that then when we have that really cool experience that, that we've been calling a mountaintop or whatever, like that's just like the bonus, right?
Yeah.
Just we get, and then the valleys aren't as low either too, right? Yep. So when I go through a difficult time, you know, I know God's with me and I don't, you know, I don't hit the depths that I would if I were feeling all on my own. But to desire I was going to say the depth of the mountaintop, which is kind of paradoxical, but you know what I mean? Like the intensity of the mountaintop. I don't think it's bad to desire that, but not in place of relationship and consistency and commitment and the recognition that day to day is really good.
I wasn't expecting this episode to be a secret relationship episode as well, but
we're heading into February.
It makes a lot of sense. That's true.
Secret relationship.
But it goes to show right that God designed relationships clearly as a beautiful picture of our relationship with him as well. But it's funny because I think it's almost because of the highs sometimes that people hate the lows so much. If you never have the spiritual high with God, then you won't really feel like he's distant when you're in the low. But everything that we've been saying, looking back on, I try to get this across to anyone that I'm talking with about, those big experiences, that it is there to, it's a way to look back in your life and say, no, God is real. Those times when I feel like maybe he's not, or maybe he's distant or whatever it is, like, no, like look back and that's true. And then even going back to, you know, marriage relationship stuff, overhearing someone, sometime when, especially as parents, things get crazy quickly. but someone had said like, yeah, I need to remember at the end of the day to realize that this is exactly what I was praying for. This mm-hmm. is exactly what I was aiming for. This is the life that I really wanted. But when we get into the routine, when we get into the day to day, we can forget. We see that with Israel all the time. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, don't look back on slavery with rose colored glasses and say, nah, that wasn't that bad. It's like, no, you are free now. Yes. Let's look at the good.
Or the routine of God's providing daily for me and I would have no other provision. Like, oh, yeah. I'm sick of this.
Yeah. But that happens because we forget that God is literally with us. What you were saying, Steve, like when you're in the valley, I would say even when like we feel sad, like be sad when you are sad, when things are bad, it is totally okay mm-hmm. and normal to feel bad about it. But yeah, I would say even when you're in the valley, like it is brighter because you know that God is with you. Like, yeah it's still low, it's still tough, but it's better. You're more content, like you were saying.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've talked a little bit about feeling. We'd use the word emotion. You know, I think one of the things that we've sort of hinted at is that, first of all, we're created in the image of God. Mm-hmm. God is an emotional being, mm-hmm. and so we have emotions. Emotions aren't the enemy. Mm-hmm. But in an extreme measure, either extremely anti-emotion or extremely everything's emotionally driven, mm-hmm. That becomes problematic. So don't be afraid of feeling emotions and having a positive feeling or even a negative feeling about something, but make sure it's appropriate, it's in balance, and it meshes with the rest of what's happening, and it's not, you know, this thing that's over mm-hmm. here just raging out of control or being squelched to nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's life. Is we see it everywhere. Everyone's just chasing happiness, however, in whatever fake form you can mm-hmm. find it, food, drugs, whatever it is, trying to chase that. And yeah, I would say when it comes to spiritual highs, obviously don't treat Jesus like a drug. Don't be chasing after him to feel good. Treat him like God because he is. Treat him as the source of your salvation.
Yeah.
Not a means to feel happy for a little bit.
Yeah.
But as we've touched on a little bit, just to make sure. I wanted to make sure I got this point before we wrap up with our final points. But yeah, feeling good, feeling moved again on like a Sunday morning. If you're listening to the radio on a Wednesday and you're like, oh, I really like this song. It feels like I feel God's love in a way. Whatever it is, none of that is bad, like we've been saying.
No.
That's not bad at all. But use those moments then in those other times when you don't to say, okay, but I know, like I know for a fact that God does love me because he's shown me that.
Amen, before, brother. Yeah, I just love, so I'm the worship director, so I'll use a song as an example. Mm-hmm. I'm obligated to. No, I'm just kidding. But I love
quota. I haven't mentioned a song in a couple episodes.
I know it has. I love this song, Praise. By Elevation Worship, it's a song we do here, and the line that says, "I'll praise when I feel it. I'll praise when I don't. I praise because I know you're still in control." And other language, like in the valley, on the mountain, when I'm sure, when I'm doubting, the common thread that we as believers have is we always have a reason to praise, to give God glory, and to engage with him in a relationship because he is good. And I mentioned in the last episode, but I'm just so encouraged by the Psalms and King David, because he was a broken man who messed up a lot, but he understood something about God's character that I think is the reason why God called him a man after his heart, is that he understood God's grace and that he was loved by him. And Psalm 16, you can look it up, but the snippet from that is he says, "You'll show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And it's such a great contrast to what our culture says brings you happiness, brings you pleasure. And it's all temporary, right? It's like this next relationship will give you pleasure. It'll make you feel great. This drug, this high. And I think maybe we've seen so much of culture that we're like, ooh, feeling good, feeling pleasure, feeling a mountaintop is actually a negative thing. It's actually just something that's been hijacked.
Yeah.
Something that I think was created by God to feel good, to feel pleasure, to feel at pleasure of our relationship with Him. Mm-hmm. And I think even jumping off what you're saying, Brian, is joy is something that's not circumstantial. It's something that is a gift from God that no matter where you find yourself, whether you related more last week to being in a spiritual dry place or right now you're on a mountaintop experience, you're like, man, things are going really good with my relationship with God. I think it's important that common theme of joy is something that we can experience no matter where we find ourselves.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We talked about last week about the, you know, if we're in a dry season or the valley, if we're using the mountain and valley, we said, just keep in mind there's seasons. Yeah. Like we accept like, oh, this is just a season. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the mountaintop, we're like, no, I want that to be forever.
Yeah.
So there's a old school song. I was just going to read some lyrics to you. You bring me up here on this mountain for me to rest and learn and grow. Mm. I see the truth up on the mountain and I carry it to the world far below. So as I go now to the valley, knowing you will go with me, this is my prayer, Lord. Help me to remember what you showed me up on the mountain. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's that ebb and flow, right? And God has certain things in our relationship with him. And some we're like just super excited about. I wish I could do this every day. Mm-hmm. But God's pretty smart. And he knows that there are times where we just need to be shifting gears a little bit. He's got to show us something that maybe we don't enjoy as much, but it's all part of that relationship and that ongoing relationship with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. 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 I love my wife, not because she makes me happy. It's because she's my wife. And then also she does make me happy. but if it's because of how she makes me feel, then things are going to change at times, right? Yeah. And I love God, not because he makes me happy, but because he's my God, because he's my savior. And at times he does make me happy, but it's that joy, that contentment. I was thinking about, when I was in college, I had a friend of mine from high school, actually, we kind of reached out just to touch base, see how things were going. And he had said, like, yeah, man, I don't know. There's got to be more than like just this stuff, you know. Just like, I don't know. I've been to the parties of chasing girls and stuff. And I don't know if this is it. And he knew that I was going to school for ministry. And I'm like, yeah. Took you this long to get here. That's the thing. I think everyone. You brought up Psalms a couple times, Alex. Just the David talks about the beautiful thing that God knows him. And I think ultimately, like there's good things and those are good. There's feeling good and there's the mountaintops. But in like in the end, we want to be known. And the fact that God is with us and he knows us intimately is so much better, than just always chasing a high.
No wonder Paul said his passionate pursuit was to know Christ, his relationship.
So good. So as we wrap up, guys, what's one thing that we can leave our listeners with, whether they find themselves in spiritual dry season or the mountaintop? Can we sign us off today?
Yeah, I would say embrace both because they're part of the overall picture of relationship. Yeah. So embrace them both and don't focus on the circumstance, focus on the person.
Yeah.
And that will give you the right perspective.
That's great.
Yeah, same.
And ditto.
That's why I jumped in first.
That's what
Brian.
I was going to say. seriously, that's exactly it. We've been harping on it this whole time. Yeah, it's enjoy both. Know that when you're in the low, that it's for a reason, that it is for growth. Be expectant that the season, when you're in the season of drought, mm-hmm. that there will be an amazing thing yeah. just around the corner. And lean into God during both. And when you're mm-hmm. in that high, enjoy it. Enjoy it with God. With bring others along with you too. But yeah.
Yeah. What I was going to say was exactly what you just, not everything you just said, but yeah, bring others along. If you're in a season of drought, lean on people, don't isolate. And if you're on a mountaintop experience, look around and see, is there someone that you can encourage? We were not meant to do life alone. And that is a very biblical principle, to do life in community with other people. I can't encourage you enough to find people to do that with. So with that being said, we're going to sign off for today. We hope that today's conversation was encouraging to you. Again, we would love to hear from you. If you reach out to us at podcast@victorchurch.org, shoot us a message. We read those. We love to hear from you and get feedback from you guys. But you guys have an amazing week. We'll see you on the next one.
All right.
See ya.
Take care.